Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before.
We've been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah.
Sixth year.
Yes. We're getting old.
Yes.
And we're here with Jeanette.
Hi.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hi.
Cassandra.
Hey.
And I'm Justin, and we're watching Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And why are we watching this, Angus?
Because some git on the internet told us to. No, we got a viewer suggestion on Spaced, like, 3 years ago. I think that was
3 years ago.
three years ago. Yeah,
we're slow, but we get there.
Yeah, we're slow, but we get there.
It had to fall within the 20 years and
all. Okay.
So if you make a comment, we've got to wait 3 years before we can actually...
Well, thankfully, we overruled it recently before we had to wait 20 years to get onto it, because the 20 years and before, that counted for comments too. But we've recently changed that.
Does that count for our reply to comments as well?
No, no, they're surprisingly quick.
I'm talking about our replies to them.
Not really.
No. Our social media manager got on that right away.
Oh, really?
So what is Garth Marenghi's Dark Place?
So Garth Marenghi is a character played by... Oh,
how do you say it? Mark Ringy's Dark Space.
Okay.
You're dyslexic as far as...
Just look it up on Google, please.
Kark Mengi's Park Space.
Dyslexia of the years.
I do like the fact that one episode of the most recent series of Lower Decks was it Darth Ferengi's Dark Place.
Ferengi was the only one I didn't do, really.
Okay. So basically Garth Marenghi is a fictional character made up by Richard Holness. And basically the idea is he is a horror science fiction writer who thinks he's the cross between H.P. Lovecraft and Stephen King, whereas in reality he's the cross between Dan Brown and Tommy Wiseau.
I was going to say, this is a real Tommy Wiseau film.
Yeah, no, basically, in the context of the show, he and his publisher, Dean Lerner, who's played by Richard Ayoade, they decide...
And can I just say full props for that pronunciation? Because I think the last time I said his name, I got so much grief on this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think after all the Garth Marenghi mispronunciation, we would have had much to say on the subject.
Don't judge me.
Yeah. So basically they decided that we want to turn Garth Marenghi's really, really, really bad novels into a TV show. And so they did it in the 80s, and 20 years later, and they finally had a chance to air it on TV. And the point is that the show is incredibly bad, incredibly cheap, and they're presenting it as though they didn't let us show it the first time because it was so avant-garde and out there, and they couldn't handle it. But no, it's just terrible. And so a lot of the show is...
So good.
Being talking heads to explain their creative process and the stuff about the show, acting as though it's actually good when it's not.
So it's like a mockumentary, but it's meta.
A bit, but you actually do get to see the episodes of the show.
So they're talking about a TV series that they filmed based on a series of books...
That's so good.
Richard Ayoade, honestly. He wrote a book about Diary of a Call Girl, and it was like an essay about it, basically.
There was one that he was talking about on Graham Norton, and it was
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Diary.
No, that was View from the Top. It's the one where she plays an air hostess.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was real? I think he was just making it up on Graham Norton.
He's written some really crazy stuff. Like, Ayoade on Ayoade is probably the most amazing book I've ever read, which is just him talking to himself as the interviewer, and he'll be like, so your birthday's on insert birthday here, and he'll be like, how'd you know that?
Yes!
It's like the driest conversation. Yeah. And then it's got, in parentheses, I look at the interviewer, which is just my reflection in it. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Stage direction as well.
Yeah.
And then it's got how to accept a speech, like a full version of how to accept an award speech. You can't read it in the chapter because it's too long, so it's got a little thing. You go to the back of the book and it's about a five-page thing of the correct way to accept a speech, which is also incredibly weird.
Really?
So he's got good cred, though, didn't he? He was part of that, is it Oxford Footlights? which is where
Cambridge.
Oh no, I think he was in the Oxford version.
The Oxford version.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And because I think it's like Monty Python. I think half came from Cambridge,
yes, and half from Oxford.
But yes, yeah, yeah. And then
Oxford Review, I think. It is.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Well, one of those anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's got cred. Mm. Everything he touches, but I think he's so deadpan.
Yes, you love him in this because the character he plays can't act.
Oh.
So, yeah, basically, Dean Lerner is the publisher of Garth Marenghi's books, and because he's funding the whole thing, he's like, I'm going to play a character. Dean Lerner can't act, and the character he's playing ends up being a really terrible wooden performance the entire thing, but it's so pitch perfect.
As soon as we decided we were going to do this, I feel like I'm going to fall in love with this, and the more I keep hearing, the more that I'm... Tell us more, tell us more.
Basically,
I keep cutting you off.
Yeah, yes, that's fine, it's fine. Basically,
I'm going to cut you off again, sorry.
So anyway,
I'm not...
So there are four main characters. There's the character played by Garth Marenghi, whose name I can never remember the characters' names versus the characters' names.
It's Matthew Holness.
Yeah, Matthew Holness plays Garth Marenghi, who in the show plays a character whose name is
Rick Douglas.
Rick Douglas, yeah.
Dr. Rick Douglas.
So basically he's the main character and everything revolves around him. And it's set in a hospital for some reason.
Justin's acting really cool, like he knows everything. He's literally just reading on a phone.
I am reading on a phone.
I want to burst the bubble that Justin doesn't just know this off the top of his head.
He's reading the same article that Cassandra's reading off and then cutting in and has the information first.
So the other characters are Dean Lerner, who's played by Richard Ayoade, who plays the head of the hospital, whose name is Thornton Reed. It's also Matt Berry, who plays...
Matt Berry plays himself.
He plays a character called Todd Rivers, who plays a character called Lucien Sanchez, who's basically the second half.
Meta.
Yeah. And there's the character who, her purpose is to be the female character on the show. So as a result, because she's not treated very well, I keep forgetting her name, which is maybe not the best. But yeah.
And that's Alice Lowe.
Yeah, Alice Lowe plays Madison Wool, who plays the character Dr. Liz Asher. And basically her job is to be the woman in the show. So, say there's one episode where she gets... I'm not sure if I'm misremembering it, but it's PMS-related psychic powers.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's bloody magic.
You've seen this before, you know what...
No. I was just making a PMS joke.
Okay. That was awful.
A pun about... Yeah.
And if I'm not wrong... When I saw the picture, and it might not be the same character than when we watch it, but she's like this actress who's in everything. Not everything, but it's like I see her pop up in all that stuff, and whenever I see her, I always kind of go, I know her from somewhere. What have I seen her in before? I think she's one of those...
She's in a lot, but as I was going through the list, I legitimately didn't recognise any of the roles, but I knew the face, and it took me 5 minutes of looking through the roles to realise I just know her from Sherlock. She's just season 3, episode 2. She's like the maid that served the soldier at John's wedding. When Sherlock was figuring out, hold on a moment, someone's about to be murdered at John's wedding. And that's the only role I've seen her in. But her face was so familiar, and I'm like,
you know where I recognised her from? When we did Bandersnatch, she was the therapist in The Office. And then they end up, you picked the scenario.
I don't remember much of Bandersnatch.
Because when I did Bandersnatch with my husband, I didn't get to the part with the therapist because my bloody husband just kept pouring tea on everything. And so I was so excited. But same thing, we're watching it. I'm going, I know her from somewhere. And I think Horrible Histories is probably where I know her.
She was in a lot of Horrible Histories. Yeah. It's probably the one thing she's been in multiple episodes of. Everything else seems to be a single episode. Mm. So she's been in a few shows I've watched, but I don't. Mm.
Interesting though, because she was on Horrible Histories. It looks like she never made it over to Ghosts, which most of the Horrible Histories people went
and also, over to and also because the folks from Horrible Histories did another show in between.
Oh, they did too. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, more information. It was aired in 2004.
20 years.
Yes,
hence. Yep, 20 years. There's only 6 episodes total, I think. And so there was only one series and 6 episodes.
Yeah, it is Gen 4 though, but still.
Okay. And we're watching episode 1, Once Upon a Beginning.
Yeah, basically just because it sets up the premise for the show in terms of both the show and the show within the show. It's the least contextually weird one because it introduces, we started the show, these are the characters, and it gives a good intro.
Yeah. Is there anywhere anybody can watch this at the moment?
I am aware.
I've tried, but I can't.
It's niche enough they can get away with having all the episodes on YouTube.
Yes.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I watched it.
What? They've the whole episode's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And there's also, like, some interviews from the DVD extras also on there as well to flesh out some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Oh, so our viewers can go off and watch it on YouTube now.
Yes, yes. Pause the video, pause the audio, watch the video, and come back.
And then, or otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we'll go off and watch it.
Wait, so business. Has anyone watched this before?
Yes. You've got to ask.
We'll ask afterwards.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. Ask beforehand.
Okay, who's watched this before?
I haven't.
I was about
to. No, I'm joking. No, I watched it when I was on SBS, like, in 2004.
So, I've seen no episodes, but I was, after the break, going to say that I've seen one episode, so...
So he wanted to be asked after the break.
I wanted it to be asked after.
I've
not seen an episode. I hadn't heard of it until it was even suggested. So.
Yeah. Jeanette, have you heard of it before?
Awareness.
I think Cassandra had mentioned it before it was suggested, very early on, and then we got the suggestion. So apart from that, no.
And Baylor, have you?
I've watched an episode or two only after the suggestion got posted, like, 3 years ago, after you'd mentioned it as well, Cass. I stumbled across it on YouTube, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. We should watch this. It's hilarious. And I think it was you that said, oh, yeah, that's this show. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. There we are then.
Yeah, I think you also mentioned in the sixth episode Richard Ayoade's rap.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
For the justifiable reason of Matt Berry's character wanted to be a pop singer, they just throw in a music video in the sixth episode.
Oh.
And it's like...
Because he is a recording artist in real life. Apparently he sounds nothing like he does on the... any of the shows, but he's got albums out. Matt Berry,
Okay.
Didn't know that. No. Good on him.
If my Spotify can work in this damn, like, Faraday cage of a town, I can play a little bit. Apparently he did, like, a covers album or something like that. Something really weird,
I love how just some actors do songs and stuff. Like, you've got Christopher Lee with his rock Christmas albums. You've got Brent Spiner with Old Blue Eyes is back.
Oh, yes. So Christopher Lee did a thrash metal Scandinavian thrash metal band.
Yes. Yeah. And he covered a whole heap of Christmas songs.
Done in thrash metal style.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Except, of course, it's not Jingle Bells, it's Jingle Hells.
Yes!
So cool.
Jeanette
did not appreciate it when I played it at Christmas time.
I'm adding that to my Christmas playlist.
No, he didn't. I was playing it and you were like, ugh. Okay then. Well.
Lisa, you haven't seen this before either.
Never, but I'm really excited about it.
You'll either love it or it'll just be so off that you won't want to get near it again.
I think I can handle Brass Eye.
I imagine it's a similar style of humour. It seems to come out of that same...
Yeah, it's also very heavily... Yeah, very parody, very tongue-in-cheek, and just playing on the fact that, yes, this is a budget of nothing. And just really bad... Yeah, just bad production values the entire way through. Because that's the point.
To me, it sounded like it's going to be awkward in the extreme.
That awkward, but it's basically just really, really trashy, really... Yeah, basically, they made it... And they didn't know what they were doing.
Corny, cheesy.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm. Okay. Well, bye. I guess we'll get on and watch the show.
Bye.
Well, that was horrifying.
That was incredible. Oh, my God. I cannot even.
My head's hurting.
So good. Holy crap.
I like how it set itself up by the best thing since Quantum Leap.
Everyone in the room just looked at me. Cheers, guys.
you were having a joke,
and we didn't even realize. Oh, my God.
Well, you were having a small epileptic fit at the time. Okay, so Jeanette, what do you think?
It was fun. It reminded me of the movie we watched, and I can't remember the name now, at Halloween, which you can't say...
Oh, very meta, yes.
You can't say too much about, because it's a massive spoiler to say anything at all about the film, but...
What movie was it?
One Cut of the Dead.
Okay. Right. Which is fantastic. I thoroughly recommend it.
You have to watch it all the way through. No matter what pain you're suffering, you have to watch it all the way through.
It's a horrifying experience, isn't it?
It is.
The One Cut of the Dead, yes.
Yes.
I remember seeing scenes of that as I was just walking through, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're saying, what on earth are you watching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very much like, very similar.
Yes, especially the screen, the elongated screen.
There was a moment when Alice Lowe, at like the beginning, walked on. It was clearly had been blocked out, and she put her hand on her hip while talking to the person behind the reception. But she went to do it early, and then continued talking. And then when she got to the line, she did no.
That's the thing, it's stuff I didn't even notice.
It's hard work to act bad if that's not in your nature.
I would say you've got to block it out beforehand. You've got to decide every single thing because you can't just go in and act bad naturally.
Yeah.
You've got to plan it out.
But then try and make it look natural that you're naturally bad. Yes.
Well, I definitely enjoyed it. I thought that was quite hilarious. Honestly.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard. and then you'd notice things and I'm going, it doesn't look right. And then you realise that they've dubbed the voices over afterwards.
Yeah.
And they just don't sound...
They've just done it weirdly.
It's just not as much.
I think it's deliberately supposed to be bad sound. I think
they put an echo on the voices.
They used to do that all the time, though. And they used to dub audio in afterwards. And you can always tell. You can always go, that audio's been dubbed. Well, that's not a live recording.
And that's what they did in the room. Yeah. There was a lot of stuff in the room where he went in and re-recorded it afterwards. What do they call it? Like there's an ASMR or something?
ASMR.
ADR. Maybe it's ADR. It's where they go in and they record some of the stuff because it's got that background noise. But he went and re-recorded too much stuff. And it was just, not quite right. And I think there's a lot of Uncanny Valley that's happening with that show.
But the terrible acting was definitely on point, of all things.
It actually made it. If it wasn't as badly acted and it was just a shitty script.
I loved the 80s hairstyle.
Oh my God.
It was so good.
There was one scene that I was disappointed by, which was when Matt Berry walked off screen. He said, okay, well, I'll leave you to it then, and walked off. And he walked around the corner. But he continued moving after around the corner because you could see his shadow on the floor. And I was really hoping he'd stop and you'd just see his shadow staying there. And he's like, right, I'm offset now.
Well, there's one time when she was walking off and she's just walking straight towards junction.
Yeah.
She's not veering to the left and the right, but straight to the wall.
And the way she's walking is not natural. I think she's trying to do this sexy walk because she's like one foot in front of the other. Yeah. But it just looks weird. She's gone... All right, now I need to walk in this direction in a sexy, tough female way. And it's not really right.
Is like she's been told, oh, just walk naturally. And she's gone, oh, yeah, sure thing. This is how naturally people walk.
There's also a few scenes you can tell in that episode where they're walking in slow motion and they're just walking slowly.
Yes.
I love the very, very start where I think it was Matt Berry and the lady were shaking hands.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then just like that ongoing screen and then Matt Berry kind of looking off to a side and then looking back, continuing the screen.
Yeah. We're still going. Okay, we're still going.
The director hasn't hit cut.
There were so many of those moments where people would be like,
Did you say there was one scene where it was one of the characters looks to the camera and then looks away again quickly or something?
Yeah, with the flamethrower. Richard Ayoades is the main character, Garth Marenghi, is just sitting there with a flamethrower and Ayoades is looking at the flame and kind of looks to the camera a bit and goes, okay, we're still good. He's sort of double-checking behind the camera.
So
the tiniest movement, but it's so
insane.
Good.
Insane! Yeah. That was the whole, like, he comes out of the grave and then, because obviously, as you do... In England, where you don't carry guns around as often, he just happens to have a gun in his pocket at a funeral, starts shooting away, and then it's like the shotgun shooting, and
jumping between Richard Ayoade shooting the shotgun and then standing peacefully by side.
That was so good.
Continuity glitches.
Yeah. Oh,
the cup and the shovel too.
Yeah.
That was a masterpiece. That was absolutely brilliant. I can't get over how good that is.
Really well done.
I am going to spend the next few days watching.
It's nice that episode.
I'll smash that out tonight. When I'll get home and I'm like, yeah, you guys go to bed. I'm watching this. Because this will not be Adrian's cup of tea at all. He will not get this.
You still got to show him an episode, though, just to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
No, he won't be like that at all.
Who is the audience for this?
Someone like me. I need to introduce this to my dad, man. He will lose his freaking mind over this.
Yeah, cool. So it's someone who can cope with the craziness of it.
Yeah. This is the type of stuff that my dad would have introduced me to when I was a kid, and then I returned the favour over the years. Mm. We would introduce each other to this type of humour, like this British humour. And then I'm trying to return the tradition and sat my daughter down a couple of days ago. We got through most of Holy Grail together. But because it's so dry in places, like it's very serious, and I have to go, no, no, you have to watch what's going on. And then we would watch bits, and it was a dark night, and you can see she's kind of just starting to lose it. And I'm like, no, 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 watch it. And then she's watching, and then she's in stitches, and she's like, what? Because she's expecting it to be this.
Oh, yeah.
She's expecting this dry grown-up movie that she has no interest in, and then it just kind of segues so much.
Yeah.
But I know as a kid it was all about the coconuts.
Mackenzie isn't here today, and we thought this was going to be too adult for her. Was it, do you think? Or?
I'll give it a try. But yeah, it could have gone either way tonight.
Because with the amount of gore in the background and stuff, like it's a little bit... But
It wasn't really gore, cool, though. Comical. Like, as someone who legitimately cannot handle that sort of stuff, this was fine. Like, the tomato sauce on the hand for, like, the cult saving ball.
Yeah.
That was good.
And it's exaggerated. It's not as
it's not really realistic.
I think there's nuances in this that she probably wouldn't get. But she'd go, this is weird, but she wouldn't get some of those things that we were, like, in stitches over.
I don't think she'd enjoy it, but I feel like she'd appreciate it later on in life.
Yeah.
I feel like this shows that I've introduced her to when she was young, and then I've had to kind of reintroduce her, like, which is like Doctor Who at the moment. We're watching Doctor Who with her, and she's completely in love with it. But she loved it when she was younger, but she can't remember any of them.
This brings us to the question, modern audiences, do modern audiences in general?
No, I think if a modern audience is quirky enough,
absolutely,
I think I agree. Because it's a show from 20 years ago, but it's talking about something from the 80s. It's made it a bit timeless.
It has made it a bit
timeless. The other thing is, as well, is it's like, it's specifically bad. There's a moment where Richard Ayoade hugs the lady and reaches down to her ass, and I'm like,
oh my God.
I mean, that's just bad acting. That's just a commentary on bad acting in bad TV shows. And I think it works now.
And you just, I had to wonder, was that part of what he was supposed to do as an actor, or did he just go, this could be an opportunity for me to cop a feel, and just decided to go with it? You just
I think that's not who he is.
We don't know if it's the character or the character's character.
Wasn't it intentional for that actor to do that, or did the actor just decide to take it?
It was probably an improv.
I
suspect a lot of that was improv.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'd say a lot of that couldn't be. There were certain parts that just couldn't be
improv. And some of those dreadful lines could never be improv. People don't talk like that.
It's interesting. I'm assuming there's more building as we go. Behind the scenes stuff, it's only two of the actors that have
been... They also bring in Matt Berry's character after. Also a running gag is though the character Alice Lowe plays has gone missing, and it's heavily implied that Dean Lerner has killed her or something.
On set or something.
No, I don't know. Just at some point between the filming and when it first aired, and she's just not there.
Oh my God.
So that, they bring in Matt Berry as the commentator, I don't know, third episode? So they're all just...
Because I'm like, this seems really strange, but then you kind of go, oh, well, it could have been 20 years ago when those actors are trying to distance themselves from it now, and, like, they've built that into it where it could have just been just as easy. They had the actors there, they could have brought them in as well. I was like, there must be some kind of something that must be coming up that I just...
No, I think it's just the fact that anyone's putting jokes they couldn't really do in situ. It's one episode where Garth is saying... I think it's in the episode which is vaguely about feminism somehow, and mentioning, you know, maybe in the next 20 years we'll have a female mechanic, and who knows, maybe she'll even be good at it. And just having just stupid jokes like that in because they can, but having no way to put it in the fake show.
Because it's deliberately bad in every sense.
I do like, there was one quote from the entire thing that I think I want to write up and have in like a picture frame, which is,
I just want to go home and type on my typewriter. But getting the words and the letters in the right order.
Yeah,
now that's the trick.
I really like that. I did too.
And there's also one in bits. We're basically saying, if you pay attention to the wires, then you're not paying attention to the show. And they cut back to the show where the wires are the most obvious thing in the world. You know, just, yeah.
It reminded me a little bit, I think more so because of the campiness of it. It reminded me there was an Australian show that came out years ago called Danger 5.
Yes. I have it on DVD if you want to watch it.
Oh my god!
It's so crazy. It's 2012, I think.
You'll have to wait.
The first series is like fake 60s. It'd be like one of the spy shows from the time. And then the second one was basically fake 80s in the same way that Garth Marenghi is. And it just fills the show with a whole lot of cliches from the era, and it's ridiculous. But the entire plot line is as though World War II was happening in the 60s or the
80s. That's it! They're fighting Hitler,
yeah.
And they've got this campy version of Hitler. It's almost like a cheap, campy version of Archer or something.
Or a live-action version.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
And it's just filled with some of the weirdest stuff. And stuff that makes no sense, but it's supposed to be some sort of high-concept spy drama. And, but basically it looks as though it was actually made in the 60s because everything from the way that the characters and set design work to the film grain editing techniques to the random product placements in the edit episodes the advertising.
Why it reminds me of this, because it's plugging themselves as this real kind of, not avant-garde like this is, but it's spruiking itself as something like really cool and out there and state of the art, but it's just so daggy and camp. And this has got that as well. Oh my god, I can't get over how crazy this show was.
I expected it to be pretty out there just from what I heard. I thought this is going to be very interesting. I was looking forward to it. Obviously, something quite different.
Meanwhile, I'm in a panic because I've got to figure out what.
Yes!
Food this show is.
Yes.
We'll give you some time.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it as I was watching
food,
it. Like,
not just a spice. Thyme is a spice.
Cornstarch and red food colouring.
Almost. Like it's. Oh.
Fairy bread?
Bad, but. Nah, fairy bread.
At like a funeral? Brilliant.
Oh, okay.
Green
if you
custard.
Put setting in the mist.
Green yeah. custard. Remember, I used to put food colouring in the custard when they were kids. Sometimes.
I was thinking fairy bread at a funeral sounds like a really weird emo band.
Yeah, but like fairy bread at a funeral. Actually, yeah.
Damn. Wasn't that a Panic at the Disco song?
I'm going to look it up on Spotify right
now. You know
now.
What? If there are any artists out there, hit me up. 100%. We'll start up a fairy bread at a funeral. This is a band. That's good. That's good. Maybe I'll start up a podcast and make it a food podcast.
Fairy bread at a funeral?
Yeah. For every person that dies, I'll be like, here we go. And this is the flavour of their death.
I'd suggest different food.
Baylor, what would be the flavour of my death?
And that's the first song by Baylor at a funeral. What flavour is my death?
These are all good. I'm going to write these down. I'm going to create a D&D bard and just use this as comedy gold.
I introduced my daughter to a song recently and I went, like, seriously, when I die, I want this song playing at my funeral. And I said, your dad is hopeless with this stuff, so I need you to remember. And then she just starts crying.
What's the song?
Flaming Lips, Do You Realise? And I'm going, I know, the song is so emotional, isn't it? And she's going, I don't want to hear about you dying. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm a shit parent. Sorry.
She's a bit young for that.
I'm just excited about the song. I love this song so much. I want to play it at my funeral. And she's like, oh, my God.
I will be playing Country Road at Jeanette's funeral. She loves that song.
Because I will leap
so
out of the coffin and say, shut that up.
She hates it so much.
I'll do what he did in the funeral scene.
I'll have to bring the flamethrower. Yeah. So what food, Angus? What food?
I really don't know. I don't even know if it's possible to choose a food.
You're off your feet after this.
When you were kids, I made spaghetti and I was trying to add sneaky hidden veggies to it. Oh, and I blended spinach and put spinach in, and the bolognese sauce was bright green. So then I put food colouring in to try and hide the brown. That's what that food is.
Black.
The thing is, it was enjoyable. So you've got to pick something
that's actually nice.
Mm. That you don't expect to be nice.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be nice, but is.
Oh, chicken feet.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. Because they look a bit weird, but like once you get one in you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're just like,
I know too many people who just don't understand, and I'm like, it's like the cartilagey bit that you get on a chicken drumstick. It's so good.
I don't have a thing for feet.
Quentin Tarantino, you are not.
What about a pineapple fritter? Pineapple 70s food.
What about like deep fried ice cream? Food, though?
Yeah.
That could be nice. I think deep fried ice cream has been our option for like several times now.
Look, if the ice cream fits.
What are some of those 80s foods that aren't around anymore? I was going to say fondue and those savoury jellies, but that was like a 70s and 60s thing, wasn't 70s, it?
80s. I think just like jelly.
Oh, even. What about those terrible jellies. Trifles where they put, no offence, I am not shaming a specific friend of mine, where you get Freddo frogs and you put that on the bottom and then you put jelly on top of that and then you put some creamy stuff on top of that and it's disgusting. I'm so sorry. It's the worst thing in the world.
Those big trifles, they take like days to make.
I
so
don't
over the top.
Care.
Yeah, like
they are gross.
I'm like, if it takes more than five ingredients and more than an hour, I'm out.
I can't get behind it.
I feel like trifle, there's a lot of effort with not a lot of dividend.
Yeah.
I don't know. Food-wise, it's just, this is an impossibility. I feel like I'd have to give this, like, a negative number if I went. I'd have to do something weird just numerically if I used the old system.
Or maybe just, like, have an imaginable or a quaternion or something bizarre like that.
I think go with chicken feet.
Yeah, I think chicken feet's going to have to be it.
That's insane.
Or what about peach danishes? But like the old ones from Foodland where it looked like there was an egg in the middle of some pastry and that was
it. Oh, yeah.
They're really good, but they just look like egg in the centre. Yes. And it's like uncooked egg too.
I think we're going to have to go with peach danish and or chicken feet. Maybe in combination.
Maybe, you know, and.
I'll leave that up to the viewer. But that was such a unique experience to behold.
I feel like there were so many, not references in the sense that we're always pulling out references and we've not mentioned Star Wars once this episode. So well done, everyone. Yeah. Well done. I'm the one who brought it up for the lack of.
Actually, I will be completely honest. Richard Ayoade was great in The Mandalorian.
There we go.
Welcome. Welcome.
It did seem
his
weird
acting was
the
just as robotic to be fair.
It felt like there was references to certain things, but you couldn't put, like, it just references to certain eras and genres and taking those, I was going to say B grade, but there were like those Z grade horror movies that were just so bad. But the part with Garth Marenghi, and I can say his name now, thank Christ, but the thing with Garth Marenghi's voiceovers and stuff at the beginning, it reminds me of, there's videos on YouTube where Stephen King is introducing some of his movies, like as part of the trailer, and you can tell it's in his heavily coked up 80s phase where he is really in love with his own grandeur, and it's, that's Garth Marenghi. There's 100% where they've gone, like, let's take that era of Stephen King and make him English and make him, a big ego monster.
I mean, it's hilarious. So, who was our Facebook? Did we actually mention their name?
Oh. So, we need to thank a person that recommended this on Facebook. Yes.
Angus, drop the name drop.
Great recommend. So thank you. We enjoyed it.
Yes. So, thanks to Daniel James Down on Facebook who suggested that. Yeah.
Awesome.
3 years ago.
I know. We finally got there.
Yeah, we finally got there.
Down with the suggestion on this one, I think.
Yes. We're very busy here.
And we are definitely open to more suggestions as well.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They
just
need to sit within the 20 years before the 20 years. Yeah. So 2004 and...
Yeah.
previous.
And of course, this one came out 20 years ago.
No one is allowed to advise Saddle Club. That's banned. I'm banning that right off the word go.
Why?
Oh, because horses are just no. No, no.
No, Cleo.
We should publish
Angus's list.
And bronies.
Okay, this is just my little pony.
They would be preferable by far to the Saddle Club. We'll publish a list.
Kenzie's just spent the morning watching again for the fifth time watching the reboot of DuckTales, and I'm like, you need to go back. Disney Plus now has the 1989 version of DuckTales. You need to go back to the one.
David Tennant.
I know. Well, that's why she started watching it. She's like, do you realise? She was so excited about it.
Because it's got David Tennant on it. Instaged a joke about Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, did they?
Yes, she's been watching that as well.
And she got very excited when she saw Georgia Moffat on stage because I told her the story and whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's going, so where else can I see this Michael Sheen guy? He's really funny. I said, well, we watched him on Good Omens. Mm-hmm. Oh, that boring show. And I'm like, maybe we need to go back and rewatch it.
Find the clip from MasterChef with him in it.
It's only short, but it's hilarious. Before I came here today, we watched The Doctor's Wife together. So I went, well, the writer of this is the writer of one of your favourite books, which is Coraline. And then I realised that the voice of House is Michael Sheen. And she got very excited. Yeah. So
I was so ready to actually, which was like, House is not Michael Sheen. House is Hugh Laurie.
Context.
I don't pay attention when you guys talk about stuff. I just draw pretty pictures.
That's all right. I do the same thing when you guys talk Star Wars, so I get it.
You wound us.
Dave Filoni, blah, blah, blah.
Dave Filoni is God, okay?
World building, blah, blah, blah.
So that was called TV shows.
Blah, blah, blah.
Before they kill each other.
Sorry, I won't be back next episode.
Random
you guys
actors' names. All of you. Blah, blah, blah. Blah.
That was a cult TV club. That was a cult TV club. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next episode.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're watching. But,
I don't know what we're doing.
Hopefully
now.
You survive until then.
TikTok, Lisa. TikTok.
Goodbye.